and begin with Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. Okay? So in Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, really, there's one huge difference between it and what we've been dealing with so far. Right? What's the sort of the common denominator by Davar Hashem Miskaven and Misaseg was what? What was like the key difference? What really like sort of just made us say, ah, you know, maybe you're going to be Pater, maybe it's going to be Mutter. Remember, it was like, you guys can see the lips moving, they can't actually hear you. In the Torah Turtles.
No, we were just murmuring to ourselves.
Oh, okay, fine. Right, so what is the like the key, the main factor, the main logic behind Davar Hashem Miskaven and Misaseg? What are we trying to claim at the end of the day?
The malacha isn't really part of your intent. You don't want it to happen, really.
Right, and therefore?
And therefore, there's room to say that it's not really a malachet machshevet, because you don't really, it might not happen, and you're not really invested in it happening.
Okay, so one way to say it is it's not malachet machshevet, but I feel like in terms of Davar Hashem Miskaven and Misaseg, the one sort of theme that kept coming up. Why are we claiming you should be pater? What was the main argument that we're trying to make? You're right, that's one of the factors, but when you say that Davar Hashem Miskaven applies not just to Shabbos, but to Kol Torah Kula, we're kind of saying it's not just a question of Lech Tamach Shabbos, because it applies to Kol Torah Kula, right? If we say Misaseg applies to Kol Torah Kula, then we have to say it's not just a concept of Lech Tamach Shabbos. We're trying to say something more, right? Why would you be Pater then? What's like the... And so there are two different ways of formulating it, but it's one sort of group of ideas.
You need like Kavana for your actions to be considered actions.
Oh, very good, right? And just, you know, just the end game is we're trying to claim at the end of the day that your actions weren't your actions, right? And in order to say that your action wasn't your action, I can say it in a few different ways. I can say, it wasn't me. It never happened, right? I could say, it was me, but it wasn't my fault, right? It's like, oh, you have to think of like a kid trying to explain why you shouldn't punish them, right? Never happened. Okay, it happened, but it wasn't me. Okay, it was me, but it wasn't my fault, right? Obviously, there's a question, those are in different levels, but at the end of the day, what we're trying to say with Misaseg, what we're trying to say Davar Hashem Miskaven, is either the Davar Hashem Miskaven basically, it didn't happen, right? It just didn't register because it didn't need to happen and you didn't need to do it. So just, you're right, it happened to have happened this time, but like, whatever, it was sort of irrelevant. Or Misasi, you can say there was no Maisa, right? There's only the Pa'ula. There's like an end result, but there's no action doing it, or there was an action, but you didn't do it because, right, you weren't involved as a human actor, right? You were just sort of there as a Chefza, not as a Gavra, not as a subject, but as an object. Or, you're right, you did it. It happened, and you did it, but you bear no responsibility because you're only responsible for things that you do with intent, right? In those sugyas, what we're arguing is that we can either nullify the action or detach you from the action or detach you at least from any legal connection, legal responsibility for the action. That was group number one. Now, right, by Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, right, what really makes it such a different category, what really makes us like take a big leap forward, and that's why everyone agrees that it's Aser. The question is whether you're Chayiv or Pater, as opposed to Davar Hashem Miskaven, where Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Pater Avalas, right? So when it comes to Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, the reason why it's so different, but at the end of the day, you're not Mechavin, right? Because no one's claiming here that you didn't do it and that you're not responsible and that it's not legally culpable. Or maybe the argument is you're not legally culpable, but no one's saying that you didn't do it or that it never happened, right? And getting back to Yair's point, Dafka, by Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, does it apply to anywhere else in the Torah? No, right? It's only a din in Shabbos. And the reason why is because it's a chisaron in Malacha, in Malachas Machshav, that's also a Torah, right? It's a unique Shabbos issue that says, oh, on Shabbos, you need it to be Malachas Machshavas. If there's no Machshava, then you're not going to be high. But not because it didn't happen, but because you did the Malacha, you did it on purpose, right? But if there's no Malachas Machshavas, then you're going to be potter. Okay? So that really just brings us into a totally different world than Davarshim Miskaven and Mesasek that we've been dealing with until now. Right? Okay, that's point number one. Okay, so if we look at the Makoros, we want to kind of figure out, A, you know, where does this come from? How does it work? And also importantly, like, what are the parameters? All right, so just the Gemara in the beginning says, oh, you see, it's like a special din in Hilchos Shabbos. Right, Hilchos Shabbos Michtan Chtivan. The Mishnah says that Hilchos Shabbos are like Harim Hatulim Besara. Right, they're mountains hanging by a thread. So okay, but like Bikaron, like the Torah tells you about Shabbos. It's not such an unknown quantity. So Rabbi Shimon says Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Patra Aleha. Ah, Afilu Tamar Rabbi Yehuda Hasam Matakin Hacham Makalkehu. So my harari ketulim besara melachas machshava sasra Torah melachas machshava soksiva. So the Gemara says, mekalkel and melachas shein tzricha l'gufa are two examples of things where really you intended to do it, but since the goal is not a constructive goal or the goal is not the goal of tzricha l'gufa, then you're going to be patur, right? Okay, and then the question though becomes, what exactly makes something melachas shein tzricha l'gufa? So, where was Rashi? Ah, okay. Yeah, so how does Rashi explain it as opposed to, let's say, some other shitas? Okay, first of all, just why should you be, why are you pater? We said because melachas shein tzricha l'gufa, because melachas machshavas. Well, how would that fit into the, you know, our classical action cycle? I don't know if how classical we can claim the action cycle to be, since I, you know, had to like introduce it. Yeah, yeah.
When you drew out the action cycle, I remember you put Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa on the goals section at the top.
Very good. Right? At the end of the day, all the components of the actual action, right, in terms of its, the formulation of the action, in terms of the execution of the action, are all intact. Right, and I think that's why we think that there's no problem in the actual the activities that you're performing. Right, where it really comes into play is only that the goal and what you're doing are not consistent. Let's say you dig a hole because you need the dirt. Right, so the goal is not to dig a hole; the goal is to get the dirt. Right, but in terms of the entire process therein, everything is consistent with the action of digging a hole. Happens to be your goal is a different goal. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about whether or not, right, that's important. Right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is chayiv, because the definition of the malacha is about the maisa that you're performing. According to Rabbi Shimon, you also need intent in order to be chayiv. Now, what's interesting is as follows. The Gemara gives an example of Ktisas Baheres, which we talked about it as Psik Resha. So some of the, as Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, except that they agree by Psik Resha, right? So Tosos says, oh, because Psik Resha is like a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, so it's still Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda, if I remember correctly. But the problem is, again, is that okay? But what does that have if that's not in Shabbos, right? The machlokas should only be true in Shabbos. So I heard from my father. He points out. He says, there seems to be like a ritva who says that in a chenami, the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos is really only about Shabbos by Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, right? Is whether or not the goal is going to be the lack of goal. Is going to pater you on Shabbos. But why do they interpret Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa that way? right? It's a little bit of a puzzling because I would say, right? We said melachas machshava sasra Torah, and therefore it should always be consistent in saying that you need machshava, right? So they don't disagree about whether or not you need melachas machshavas and whether melachas shentzich legufa, right? They're arguing about whether or not melachas shentzich legufa is part of melachas machshavas, but shouldn't it either definitely yes be or definitely not be? Right? And what does that have to do with their argument by Darshan Miskavid and Kol Tara Kula? Right? I mean, it seems like they have this parallel machlokas, but one is a machlokas within melachas shentzich legufa, and one is machlokas within Darshan Miskavid, which is true to Kol Tara Kula, not just melachas machshavas. So my father pointed out that according to Bihuda, how do we evaluate your action? How do we evaluate the malacha? How do we evaluate the iser? Right, what is the Torah prescribing or prescribing when it tells you to do something or not to do something? Yeah, Liana.
Like the
ma'aseh. Right. Exactly. Right? Is the Torah telling you do action X, or is the Torah telling you to do action X, right, with the kavana to do the mitzvah or to do the avir? Right, how essential, how much is the iser focused in on the machshava, on your intent and what you're doing? Right, don't do action X with X, Y, Z intent. Or is no, don't do action X. If I tell you not to eat chametz, am I telling you do not allow chametz to get into your mouth? Right, for example, I mean, that's not a great example. But if I tell you, you know, don't do malacha on Shabbos, so you're right that on Shabbos, I need intent in order to be chayav. Melachas machshavas asa Torah. So if it was mekalkel, right, then it would be patur. But what if I intend to do the action, I just don't intend for the result? I don't want to do mechabe, I don't want to do havara, I don't want to do choresh or chofer or boneh. But I want to do the action of chofer. What is chofer? Is chofer digging a hole so you can have a hole? Or is chofer the action involved in digging a hole? So Rabbi Yehuda says in Kol HaTorah Kula, basically, our emphasis is always on the ma'isa. Sounds actually a little more, you know, like brisker, right? There's like the ma'isa, and we evaluate it based on what the ma'isa is. So you did this ma'isa. I don't really care necessarily what your kavana was when you did it. Right? According to Rabbi Shimon, no, what your intent is a critical question, component of whether or not there's an iser. So by Darshan Miskavid, the result is, if you didn't intend it, all right, and we didn't know that it was going to happen, so you didn't intend it, so there's no iser. No iser was done, maybe. Right? So when you come now to Shabbos, and you look at Melechas Machshabbos, and the Torah says Melechas Machshabbos Asur Torah, it's only iser if you're Mechavi. So I can understand that in two different ways. Right? I can say, you're only chayiv for doing the ma'isa malacha if you intended to do the ma'isa malacha, right? So, okay, what part of the action cycle are we emphasizing? You're only going to be chayiv if there was intent to act, right? If you remember the, you know, back to the action cycle, right? Over here, I think it's over here, right? Over here, right, you had intent to act, right? After you evaluate the world and you look at your goal, you say, you know, I have this intent, I intend to act in a certain way, right, to create a certain output. I see that there's, you know, here's a shovel and I need dirt, so I'm going to go and dig a hole, right? So that's the intent to act of a malacha. So says Rabbi Yehuda, what I care about is the ma'isa, and you have intent to do the ma'isa. According to Rabbi Shimon, we don't just need a kavana for the ma'isa, you also need kavana for the greater, for the toelis. Just like by kilayim, you need to intend to get hana from the kilayim, not just to put the kilayim on yourself. Right? So it's actually very nice. In terms of their understanding of nachas machshavas, what part of the action cycle you need is very much dependent on how you understand the nature of Yisurim in general. Are Yisurim primarily about the actions? Which makes sense, right? God said, don't do this action. I'm not going to tell you what you should be thinking. I mean, I am telling you what to be thinking, right? But the chalos iser is on the ma'isa, or it's not just on the actual ma'isa, but it's on the ma'isa with the attached kavana. The parallel to that is mitzvah shrichas kavana, right? If you take a lulav and you shake it, right, You think you're shaking your phone, but it turns out you're actually shaking a lulav, right? So, okay, right? It turns out you shook a lulav, so you did the ma'aseh mitzvah, are you yotze? Right? So maybe you can, I mean, the problem is you have to say that you, like, it's not ma'aseh. But if it's ma'aseh, then maybe you're still, it's still ma'aseh, so you're pater, not just pater, but never happened, right? Let's say you know it's a lulav, and you just, you're shaking it because you want to chase away a fly. But you're aware that you're chasing, that you're shaking a lulav, right? So in theory, this could be the exact same machlokas, or based on the same principle. How much is the mitzvah, as opposed to the iser, based on the maisa, and you have an intent to do the maisa mitzvah, right? You want to do the maisa mitzvah because, I don't know, you're, the principal is looking, and he's like glaring at you, and you're like, fine, I'll shake the lulav, so he stops looking at you, you have like no kavanah whatsoever to do the mitzvah. It's like davening in high school, in the high school minyan, you know, back in the day. Or, no, you need it to have an actual intent to be makayim the mitzvah, right, for the goal of doing the mitzvah. Okay? Fine. So that's, that I think is an important key concept that really is being reflected in Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Right? It's not just a question of, oh, you know, in the case of Shabbos, what type of machshava you need, but you definitely need machshava for the malacha. But when we talk about malacha is something that involves kavana, because the Torah asks actions with their appropriate intents, or requires actions at the appropriate intent, or, no, right? It's not about thoughtful action. We're telling you, do action X, don't do action X. In that case, when the Torah says malachas machshavas, it's about, oh, did you intend to do action X or not? Regardless of the thoughtful component that's involved there. Okay, now, how do we define then malachas shein tzrich l'gufa? Right? What does it mean for it not to be your goal? So Rashi has this very, I would venture to say, like, unhelpful definition. Rashi here says, okay, so the Gemara said, let's say you have a mace, let's say someone dies, and he's in the house, that's in the house, and you have to do is you take out the dead body. As a mace mita chayiv, Rabbi Shimon is poter. You take a dead body out of the house. So you're poter, why? Because taking a dead body out of the house is a melach shein tzricha legufa. Okay? Right? Even if you took him out to bury him. So there is a purpose involved, right? It's not just time you're like dragging him out for no reason. You take the dead body out of the house so that you could bury it. Right? But you're not taking it out necessarily to get it out of, to bury it, right? You really, or are you, right? Here's a problem. You're taking it out of the house, but there's a purpose involved. Right? So Rashi sort of feels obligated to give this a like compound explanation. Once I just want to find that one more line in the Gemara here. Okay, yeah, whatever. We'll just skip the Rashi. L'salka me'alav. Rabbi Shimon poter. Afilu b'mei shalim. Dehevi melacha shein tzricha legufa. Chol melacha shein tzricha. Ella l'salka me'alav. Hevi melacha shein tzricha legufa. Okay? It's in a tzricha legufa. Ella l'salka me'alav. He wants to remove something from upon him. Why? And why is it? Because dibir tzono lo balo, he would have preferred it to have never happened. V'lo hayatzarech, and he didn't need it. It's not like useful to him. Hilkach lav melechas machsheves hi l'Rabbi Shimon. It's not considered melechas machsheves. So the problem is like this, right? All three of those are not necessarily the same thing. No? L'salkame alav, birtzono lo balo lo hayatzarechla. Right, I would argue that those are very different things. Right? How would you sort of formulate them? Right, l'salkame alav. What would you think? Try to give a case. So l'salkame alav, there's something like, let's say there's something annoying, right, or smelly, or unpleasant, and you want to get rid of it, right? So that is, you know, okay, I understand. L'sal kamei alav. You want to remove it. Lo hayatzarech lo is something that you don't, like, benefit from, right? At the end of the day, like, you don't actually get any benefit out of doing whatever it is you did. Right? And lo hayabalo means you prefer, you prefer that it didn't happen. Right? But those aren't necessarily the same thing. Like, I could theoretically come up with the cases, which are, you know, each one is different. Let's say Tosos actually does, right? What does Tosos ask on Rashi? Tosos zooms in on the case, on Rashi's lashon of, on lo hayatzarech lo, right? Tosos points out, let's skip Tosos for a moment. Let me quote Rashi. Right, over Rashi Piresh, the Birtsono lo haisabalo, the lo hayatzarech lo, she'ina ela lasalka me'alav. Let's say you have a snake, right, and you don't want it to bite you. So chasing away the snake is something that you know, it's only a preventative measure. And you would have preferred the Birtsono lo hayame'ola. You'd have rather not existed than having to do the malach. Just happened, since it exists, you have to deal with it. Okay, but in that case, what about korea bechamaso, right? You're tearing something because you want to, like, scare the living daylights out of your students or your kids, right? Tzarech l'malacha, and yet you'd rather not have to scare the living daylights out of them. You'd rather they just listen to you, right? Or what's the other case? Korea yuria, shenafo badarna. Let's say like a moth eats part of your cloth. So what you have to do is you have to like cut it and re-soak some of it. But you'd have rather that the moth never ate your suit, right? Or your curtains, right? Dibritsuna lohoya nafo ba. You would have rather never got damaged, right? So Tosuf points out, he says, if it's something that you would have rather never happened, then of course that should always be malachas, malachat srichalo, because I have all these cases in the Gemara that say so. Right? So what does Tosuf say? What's Tosuf's shita?
So the tzricha is defined by, are you frozen right now?
Me? Yeah. No. I'm waiting patiently.
Looks the same as frozen.
Yeah. So he says that the tzricha gufa for Malachot on Shabbos is defined as whatever those things were in the Mishkan.
Exactly. Right? Tosus has a problem, right? Tosus says, wait a second. I don't get it. Right? Yeah. You take the dead body out of the house, right? You need to do hotzah in order to remove the dead body from the house. How is that not a malacha hatzrichale, right? I understand how something that's destructive, you can argue, is not a malachas malshevas. But to argue that something that you're doing intentionally, it's helpful, it's useful, is a malacha shein tzricha legufala? Well, what does that even mean, right? What does it mean to be bertzono lo balo? And like, there are all sorts of things in life that you'd rather not have to do, right? But of course they're constructive, right? If it's constructive, why is it not malachas machshavas? So Tosos does a classic Tosos move, and they say, I can answer this, right? Blame it on the Mishkan. right? Tosfos in general thinks very strongly that the Mishkan is not just, you know, the paradigm for learning out the malachos. It's the paradigm for all the malachos and their definitions. And if you do something in a manner which was not done in the Mishkan, then that's malacha sheitzricha legufa. Because the Torah said, don't do malacha like we did in the Mishkan. If you intend for something other than what the result was on the Mishkan, then that's not really doing the malacha, right? Okay, right? On the one hand, that how much does that help us in terms of our understanding of malacha shein tzricha legufa, or in terms of the nature of malacha? So the hakir we made between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda remains the same, right? Rabbi Shimon cares about machshava, and Rabbi Yehuda cares only about the ma'isa, right? We'll define machshava based on what they did in the Mishkan, right? Because, okay, the only reasonable definition is that which was in the Mishkan. The problem, again, with that is, right, it doesn't, malacha shein tzricha legufa sounds like in a tzricha legufa, not in a tzricha lemasha haya b'mishkan. Tosfos is forced to say that because there's no real good reason to differentiate, right? And if you do, and you say it's, oh, something that you'd rather not happen, anytime you get damaged, then the malacha that you do afterwards is malacha shein tzricha legufa, right? That doesn't make sense, says Tosfos. Okay, so definitely, yeah.
It's nice that the lashon of Melechet Machshevet shows up by the Mishkan.
Right, right, exactly. So a good counter is to say, yeah, Melechet Shein Tzricha Legufa doesn't quite sound like that, but Melechet Shein Tzricha Legufa is all learned out from the Melechet Machshevet of the lashon of the Mishkan. Exactly. Very good. So, okay, you know, the Torah said it has to be Melechet Machshevet, and the Melechet Machshevet is learned out from the Mishkan, so why should we, you know, okay. Put those things, two things together. Yeah. The problem in the Gemara, though, it sounds like Tzricha Legufa is like, oh, you don't need it for itself, not for the purpose of the mission. So Tosfos conceptually, right, has a very strong argument. What does it even mean for, like, if you're digging a hole, then you dug a hole. You're right that you needed the dirt, but the action of digging a hole is useful for many reasons. Why should we pick one over the others? And the answer is, says Tosfos, we shouldn't, right? It just depends what was in the Mishkan. However, says this is the Rashba. Poter Reb Shimon af mutzi es ames lekovro mishum de afzu malacha shein tzricha legufa lefi she'in lo hana lo behotzasa v'lo bikurasa. Right? He has no hana. And that, I think, is actually is a much clearer definition than Rashi, which is gets around Tosfos' problem. He says, you don't get any hana from the malacha. You're doing the malacha, right? But not in a minute because you're getting hana from it. Or in the case of digging a pit in order to get the dirt, you don't get any hana from the building of the pit, right? Happens to be, you took the dirt, now there's a pit left, but you don't get any hana from it. So you can't say, oh, you're tzarech legufa malacha in your nana. Taking the dead body out, how's that different than taking out, you know, a ball? And the answer is, you take the ball out because you benefit from having the ball in the new location. Here, you don't get any benefit from taking the mace out of your house, right? You're just worried the mace is going to start smelling, and that'll ruin your house. And that'll be stinky and gross. But at the end of the day, you're not getting any specific hana from the action you're doing, right? It's preventing a different issue from coming up. Ha-hana hi ha-mniya satuma. And right? So you understand also why Rabbi Shimon, why Rabbi Yehuda would argue potentially, because he could say minias nezek is a penny saved is a penny earned, right? So if a penny saved is a penny earned, maybe preventing damage is also considered a form of hana. Right? It's like buying an insurance policy. I don't know. I'd consider that to be a financial benefit. So you could say that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda actually argue very specifically, not on something universal here, but on what do you consider to be hana. But the Rashba, unlike Rashi and unlike Tosfos says it's about what was in Mishkan. Right? Rashi says it's you didn't want it. You'd have preferred it never happened. You know, it's right. It's to remove something. It's not to gain something, right? The Rashba says very clearly there's one parameter, and that is, are you benefiting or are you not benefiting? If there's no actual benefit from it, if there's no direct benefit, then it's a malacha shen tzricha legufa. Right? Why do you do a malacha? Because you need to, you want to get X benefit. Here, there's no direct benefit. It happens to be it's beneficial for you, but you're not getting hana from the actual malacha. Okay? I'm just going to skip down. What's a fascinating nafka mina? So the Rashba says, Hamotzi reyach ra, koshu sheshaninu beperek amar Rabbi Akiva, shehu chayev, af Rabbi Shimon modeba. Rabbi Shimon is going to be modeh if it already smells. That's a malacha, tzricha legufa. Why? Because Eliana?
Because if it already smells, then you're removing the unpleasantness right away, which means you get hana. So it would be right. Immediate hana.
Exactly, right? There's a huge nafka mina between, normally you would say, ah, you know, what's the difference between Rashi and the Rashba? Right? Rashi's saying, oh, it's l'salko mimenu. According to the Rashba, it's not just, it's about hana. So the Rashba says, yeah, but and if you benefit right away, if you actually, it's already smelling, so you're benefiting right now because now it's not smelling, right? That's a direct benefit. If you do something and you benefit from it, that's a malacha tzricha legufa. If there's no benefit, that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Right? Now, you're right that it's useful in the long term, but you didn't get a direct benefit. On the other hand, right, the Ritva, by the way, who says almost exactly like the Rashba, he doesn't bring that case. Right? He doesn't say, oh, if you were to get rid of the smell, then it wouldn't, that you'd be patzer. It's an interesting tidbit. This is like Lashon at the end. But he sort of just skips out that extra line. He basically quotes the Rashba almost verbatim. And he adds on one line. He basically quotes the Rashba, but he just doesn't add in that last bit that, oh, if there was already smelling, then it would count as hana. Because you're getting rid of the bad smell. That's a benefit. That's a purpose. Right? So it's what's interesting, it could be that he thinks that anything that's not a positive benefit, it's a negative benefit, it's a removal, it's lahasir mimenu, isn't considered hana. Or when he's saying, Rashi said, oh, lahasir mimenu, lo tzarech la, velo hayaba. So, lo hayaba lo, in theory, should include all sorts of nezek. So this is the Rashba points out that according to his definition, of course, if there's nezek involved and you're fixing it, that counts as hana, right? If your car breaks down and I fix it, did I just give you hana? Of course, right? I fixed your car. You're right, you'd have preferred it to never happen. But since it happened, right, the reality is that your car is broken and now I come and I fix it. So of course, that's hana. All right, so in terms of hana, it's a question of, are you benefiting? Right? You could also say, you could add in that in terms of like lo hayat zarech lo, right, that you don't need it or you wouldn't want it, say that the end benefit is not something that you actually get anything from. And I think that you could argue that's kind of the direction the Ritva is going for a little bit. Okay, Rashi has three lashonos, right? L'salek me'alav, it's only to remove something from him. It's not actually getting hana. I think that's the direction the Rashba goes. Lo hayat zarech lo, right, or birtzono shalohaya balo is the way Tosos understands Rashi, that you'd have preferred it to never happen in the first place. That runs into the problem of if it's just repairing an ezek, then you should be in trouble. Then that doesn't make sense because you'd have preferred not to be damaged. You could counter argue that once it already happened, that's already the reality, and now the malacha is like a little bit, you know, detached from that, although that's already a little bit shaky. The Rashba says, okay, but if you actually get benefit from it, like it's smelly and now it's not smelly, so that's a real, that's, right? It's not just the salik me'alav. The Ritva doesn't have that extra case of, let's say it's already smelly. Sounds like he thinks even if it's already smelly, you'd be putter, because you're just removing it. And I think the answer there is because Rashi said, let's just bring up this Lashon again, Rashi said, lo hayat sarechla. Right? So for the Rajba, if it's lasalka me'alav, if it's just to remove something, right? So you're moving something, but you're not getting any benefit from it. There's a snake, you're preventing it from damaging you, but you're not actually getting any benefit from trapping the snake, right? If it's already smelly and you're removing it, now your house smells better, that's a benefit, right? The Ritva, I think, might be focusing more on the idea of lo hayat tzarech la. What does it mean, lo hayat tzarech la? He doesn't accomplish anything by it. He doesn't get anything out of it, right? I mean, there's no quantitative benefit, or not even benefit, I would say there's no product at the end. You don't get anything out of it. So let's say you have something smelly in your house. By removing it from your house, you benefit, but there's nothing that you wanted to attain at the end. You didn't get anything out of it, right? Lo hayat tzarech la, there's nothing here that you needed. Right? If you don't need a hole in your front lawn, you just really needed the dirt badly because there's a hurricane coming and you need sandbags. So you could say, oh, lo hayat tzarech la. Right? The hole is not tzarech la. If there's something smelly and you remove it, so it no longer smells, but if not for this object, you wouldn't have needed to remove the smell in the first place, right? You didn't accomplish something that objectively you needed. It happens to be in this very specific case, you benefit by removing the stink. But you're not getting something that you didn't have before, right? It's lo hayat tzarech la. So I think each one of these ideas could emphasize a different case or different parameters. Lo lesalik me'alav is more about, are you getting hana or are you just preventing something damaging? And here we're saying, oh, you're just preventing the snake from biting you, or you're just preventing the dead body from being metame everything, right? But you're not actually getting any direct benefit right now. Bertono Lobalo says, oh, it's like you'd have rather not had the whole situation in the first place. And now that you're stuck, you're stuck. So you're right, you're getting benefit. You're right, even that there's maybe a toelas and that you're fixing the curtain. But at the end of the day, you'd have rather avoided the whole situation. Lo hayat tzarech la says, did you do something that object? Did you get an end product at the end that you want? Fixing the curtain, is that hayat tzarech la? What do you think? You have a curtain, moths eat it, so you have to cut it and repair it. Would you say yes, hayat tzarech la, or lo hayat tzarech la?
Probably not.
Okay, we'll pull everybody.
That's not good.
Lo hayat tzarech la. Do you think yes? Probably not, it was a little bit vague. In terms of hana, let's go through all three. In terms of hana, is there hana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Definitely yes, hana. Because at the end of the day, now the curtain's fixed. You have. Right. Is it lisalik me'alav?
No.
Right. Not. What is it?
You can't get rid of a hole.
Right. You're not just removing the hole. Right. You're fixing the curtain. Right. Is the end product something that you need?
Yeah.
No, not really. You don't need it.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So I would say I'm going to go with Amitai in this one. But I gave it away originally because I didn't automatically accept Ari's answer. Right? But I would say that yes, right? Because what did you accomplish at the end of the day? You made a curtain, right? You fixed the curtain. Taking the dead body out of the house, or taking the something that smells out of the house, I would say, it smells. Now it's gone. That's great. Did I accomplish something? Right? Would you say like, oh, what did you accomplish today? Right? You'd say like, I got something smelly out of the house. Right? No, it's like a pest that you have to deal with, but it's not something you accomplished. Fixing the curtains, like, oh, I did all the sewing today. Like I fixed, you know, all the torn pants and all like the torn curtains, right? That's like, you know, C1V, you make a big check on your to-do list, right? You did something, you are tzarech la, you need these curtains, you need to fix it, right? And you did. And now you have the curtains at the end of the day. I think according to, let's say, the Ritva, the question is, do you have something at the end of the day? So I have the curtains fixed. I did a malacha, right? I would have preferred, right? According to the way Tosus understand Rashi, since it's Nezek, and I would have preferred to avoid this whole situation in the first place. So that's not a malacha tzrich l'gufa. Because you don't need to do sewing in order to fix the curtains, right? You need to do sewing to create curtains. If they get damaged, you have to fix them. Now, I think Rashi could argue back, if Tosus is interpreting Rashi correctly, that something, let's say, that's inevitable, right? That, let's say, repairing, you know, so having to repair things is sometimes inevitable. So, yes, it's like, that's a, you know, you'd say maybe it's birtsono shelo hayava that in this particular case that there was a damage, but it's inevitable that you're going to have to fix things. So you can't say, oh, like, if only we had never gotten into a situation where I would have needed to, you know, to fix the curtains. You need the curtains, you need to fix them, so you fix them, right? There's no necessity to be attacked by snakes, right? I think that's the sort of the argument that you could make, is that you could theoretically want to avoid the whole situation of being attacked by snakes. Having to sew curtains is not, you know, something that's like, you know, oh, like, if I want curtains, I don't have to sew them. You have to sew them. They have to get made somehow. You're right that sometimes in the process, something can happen or they can get damaged and you have to repair them, right? But it's not something you can say, oh, it's ono lo ayabalo, that you would ever have to do this malacha. There's no difference in the malacha and in the purpose of the malacha when it's caused by nezek as when it's caused by the fact you haven't finished them yet. Okay? But the idea essentially is you would have rather avoided the whole situation. And then I guess you'd have to argue that in the case of nezek, it's not really like, oh, you would have avoided the situation because, you know, if you go back in time, before they were finished, we'd have had to do the same thing. All right? So completing the curtains, finishing the curtains are sort of the same. That's like an interesting, that you have to, I'm not sure if, I just don't think Rashi really understands it that way. That's why Tosfos understood Rashi. So from there, it's like, oh, you would have rather avoided it. When you get to the Shita of the Rajba, it's one step further and say, no. Question is, right now that you're doing it, are you benefiting, are you not benefiting? Right? And the Ritva says, no, it's not just a question, are you benefiting, not benefiting now? But the question is the end result afterwards something which, you know, which you now have, you now have gotten, you know, X product. You've gotten X accomplishment out of it, right? So just working backwards, the Ritva says at the end of the day, afterwards, right, you need to have gotten something out of it, right? You need to now have X product, right? So if it's fixing curtains, then at the end of the day, now you have these fixed curtains. You have the curtains at the end of the day, right? If it's catching a snake so it doesn't bite you, you don't have the snake at the end of the day because the snake is useless to you, right? You just don't want it to bite you. So do you have something new at the end of the day? The answer is no, right? If you dig a pit and you don't need the pit for anything, now you have a pit. No, I don't, right? The pit is not useful to me. I didn't gain anything, right? Having to fix a curtain that got damaged, now I have the curtains. So I didn't want to do the malacha, right, beforehand, but after the fact, I have the end product. The Rajba says, oh, it's a question of like, when you're doing it, are you benefiting? So if it smells already, you're benefiting. If it doesn't smell yet, then you're just preventing nezek. If it's just a preventative measure, that's malach shen shich l'gufa. And according to Tosos' understanding of Rashi, if you do something that you just would have preferred to avoid it in the first place, so even though it's a real malacha, and even though you're getting something, even though you're getting hana, and even though at the end of the day you actually have like a, you know, a real finished product that you're gaining from, since you would have rather avoided the whole situation in the first place, that would be a malach shen shich l'gufa. Okay? Toso says, well, you can't sort of make those distinctions. Why should any of those make it not a malacha if at the end of the day you meant to do it? So it must be based on an objective definer of what they did in the Mishkan. Tila, you had a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. In the pit example, does that translate into, like, can you translate that into distinction between, like, a maisa and a pa'ula, or is it more like a maisa versus kavana kind of split?
I mean, it's totally a maaseh versus kavanah type of split. Because at the end of the day, you meant to dig a pit. And you knew you were digging a pit, right? You can't claim that you're, you know, you didn't intend to do the maaseh of digging a pit, right? You dug a pit for some other purpose, right? But the digging of the pit was entirely necessary and intentional, right? What you wanted to do was to dig a pit so that you got dirt, right? But at the end of the day, it's a maaseh that you're trying to do. It's not your goal, but it definitely is part of your maaseh. So then it's like, oh, you have no kavana, but you totally did the maaseh, and maybe are you going to be pater or not? But definitely, I think it's in the realm of kavana, which is why everyone agrees it would be awesome. The question is whether or not you're chai. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still a little fuzzy on the difference between, let's say, curtains in the room. Why would taking a dead body out of a room not in some way complete the space by making it better, i.e. there's no corpse there? Like, why does that count as a finished product?
No, because the malacha of hotzah, right, is about moving things from one place to another, right? It's more taking it from, you know, getting it to place B, taking from A. Right. Here, so while the moving the corpse from place A to place B, if it's, let's say, smelly, would benefit you, it's according to the Rashba, right? It already smells, so now it doesn't smell anymore, so you benefited by moving it from one place to another, right? Let's say it doesn't smell. So there's a dead body there, and you're worried that it's going to start smelling, right? Or that's going to tame everything, so you take it out, right? But you're not benefiting from the fact that you took it out. You didn't need to take it out for, let's say, for any hana, or even, there's no end product that you got. What did you gain? I now have what?
So a clean space, and that, like,
yeah, but aren't the malacha of hotza.
Right? So as long as it's not connected, it doesn't matter.
Right. No, you're potentially, let's say, you're benefiting in some way, right? But right. The argument is you're not benefiting from the hotza, right? The fact that, you know, let's say you dug a pit, and you dug a pit so you could get the dirt. So you have the dirt now, so you benefited, but you didn't benefit from the fact that now there's a pit, right? The pit itself is the malacha, but it was irrelevant to your hana. So you weren't, so we'd say, right? That's a malacha shen tzricha legufa, right? Because there's a pit, you're right. But what I needed was the dirt, not the pit. Now obviously in order to get the dirt, you needed to make a pit, but that's, right? You don't benefit from the presence of the pit. The pit wasn't part of what you're getting hana or what you're accomplishing. Says the Ritva, right? If there's a curtain and it gets eaten by moss, and now you have to tear it and fix it. So what's the malacha? The malacha is fixing the curtain. And what do you get out of it? You get a fixed curtain. You're right, you would have rather it didn't get ruined, but now that it got ruined, you did a malacha, which got you the end product of the malacha of fixing. So for the Rajba, we cast it wider net, and we say, I don't need necessarily to be like a finished product at the end that I can say, you did the malacha and you accomplished this. Right? I just need you to be doing a malacha in a way which gives you hana. Right? And there, by the dead body that smells already, I can say, you're benefiting because you're taking it out, and you're benefiting by taking it out. Taking it out, doing the malacha has given you the hana of, now it doesn't smell anymore. So you're right that, like in the case of the dirt, I took the dirt out and now I have the dirt. But the pit, right, the bonad, the digging of the pit, hasn't benefited me at all. Here, the chotzah, the fact that I moved the dead body from A to B, has actually benefited me because now it doesn't smell in my house. So the fact that I moved the object from A to B is beneficial, right? I'll say, according to the way Tosfos says Rashi, since I would have rather the guy not died in the first place, the fact that I now have to move his body is unfortunate. It's malach shen tzricha legufa, because I would have preferred him not to die at all. Right? Tosfos basically says to Rashi, but then, like, you know, there are all sorts of cases that you would argue, like, you'd rather X, Y, Z. So obviously it has to be something that's sort of, like, objective or sort of, like, glaring. Like, say, I forgot to move it earlier, now I want to move it, so I would have rather done an Erev Shabbos. I don't think that would be a good argument, because you could say, okay, you would have wanted to do it on Shabbos, but you still want to do it. So let's say, I wanted to move all my grain into my warehouse. I would have loved to have done it on Shabbos, but I was busy getting ready for Shabbos, so now I can do it now. It's a malach shen tzricha legufa. So no, because I want to do is I want to get the grain into the storehouse. But here I think we're saying, right, obviously within the malacha itself, oh, I don't want to move the dead body out of the house, right? I don't want the dead body in my house, so I'm going to sort of take him out. But if in theory, I think what Rashi's saying is that if I could go poof to the whole situation, I would. So the dead body, I would say, oh, poof, you know? You just like stand there for a minute. You're like, oh, like this is not my day. As opposed to, so the malacha is a way of going poof. While when it comes to, let's say, you know, like a, and that's true by the snake, and it will be true by the, let's say, by the pit. You know, now you have to deal with the fact there's a pit in your front lawn. When it comes to, the problem is that in the case of the nezek, it's hard to say, oh, you wouldn't want to go poof and make the hole disappear. You could argue, I don't know, like the hole is not something that you can go poof to make disappear. It's like, okay, it exists. Now you have to fix it. And like fixing it is sort of the way to deal with this situation. As opposed to a dead body, which you're right, you have to, in this case, you weren't going to take it out, but in theory, you could burn it. It's like by the curtain, you can't say, oh, in theory, I'll deal with the burn, but the tear by burning it, you know. Like a dead body, if I could make it, incinerate it, you know, then it would be like, you know, great. Like, it would just be dealt with. There's no necessity to repair it. As opposed to, like, a curtain that's torn, you need to, you're right, I would have rather it not happen, but I now have to, I can't make it go poof, I have to go deal with it. So it is a little bit hard to, you know, justify the way Rashi understands, the Tosfos understands Rashi, but I think we could, you know, with the, I said, poof theory. The more you would want to say, oh, let's make a poof, then it's like, oh, you know, you could avoid the situation, as opposed to, let's say, a case where there's necessity for repair, where there's a very clear thing that you now need to do, you do want to do that, those steps. So it's here, just a way of avoiding the issue. Okay, so I'm going to stop now, because